From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, beginning in the 18th chapter, part of the way through, and we'll go through several chapters here. When the Lord, means referring to Lord Vamanadeva, heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashvamedha sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty. Make a note of that also. That's Canto 8, Chapter 18, Text 20. Remind me afterwards about the word patronage, because technically Bali was the patron, not the Brahmanas. It says in the word for word, under the guidance. So I'll just check about that. Under the guidance of the Brahmanas, belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty. Does anyone know where in India this place is? Actually, this was performed in the Narmada River on the heavenly planets, but the manifestation of that in this world is on the Narmada River in Bharatavarsha in India. Anyone know the name of the place? Bhrigu Kutch, under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Bhrigu Kutch means, anyone think of a name like that in Gujarat? Anyway, some Gujaratis must be. Bhrigu Kutch is the modern day Bharuch. The Narmada flows there. So that is the place of Vamanadeva. We should have a good temple of Vamana there. There is a small temple close to the Narmada, but it should be made a big one. Okay. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashvamedha sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight he pushed down the earth with every step. To show his mercy to Bali Maharaj, well, it might not have seemed like mercy. He took away everything he had, tied him up, threw him down to the lower planets, but everything is his mercy, as was understood by Bali Maharaj. His very name Bali suggests that he gives everything, including his own life. By his weight, Vamanadeva is a tiny little dwarf, but the whole universe is within him. So he pushed down the earth with every step. Next verse. While engaging in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kutch, on the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamanadeva to be like the sun rising nearby. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or the fire god, had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. Yeah, even though the sun was in the sky, but it seemed as if another sun had risen. And the Brahmanas must be very bright by their spiritual prowess, but then when they saw someone is coming who's so bright that he's lighting up the day, we've heard of lighting up the night, but Vamana lit up the day, they thought, maybe the sun god himself is coming. Maybe it's Sanat Kumar, he's so bright, good brahmacharya, or the fire god. They didn't imagine that the master of the sun god, Sanat Kumar, the fire god, and everyone else was coming. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and a water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashvamedha sacrifice. Why should they argue? Well, that was a common diversion or activity of Brahmanas. When they all get together during the breaks in the sacrifice, they like to discuss with each other. Just like the people of strong bodily strength, they may hold a wrestling competition. So people of strong intellectual strength, they may hold a debate. It's their hobby, you could say. appearing as a Brahmana boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deer skin and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadeva, he's performing sacrifices for his welfare and that of his followers, for that of the kingdom. And if such a great personality, it's not known who this great personality is, but he's obviously a great personality. He's a Brahmana. He's brilliantly, it's seen by his dress that he's a Brahmana, Brahmachari. He's brilliantly effulgent. So whoever it is, must be, it's a great blessing for the sacrifice, which means that the results of it will be increased many times. So Bali Maharaj is jubilant at seeing Lord Vamadeva, Vamanadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body. So Bali Maharaj offered him a seat with great satisfaction, thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls. Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. Tatpada shocham jana kalmashapaham. There's a description of that water from his feet, that by washing his feet, all the sins of all the people of the world can be taken away. Translation, Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu, because water that's poured on the feet of Vishnu becomes equivalent to the Ganga. So Charanamrita. When we bathe, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, what is that? Charana Sidhu Dekhiya Ganga. When he offers, he bathes the Lord, and that water we call Charanamrita, that's the same as Ganga. So being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. Can you make a note of that verse also? That's text 28 of this chapter. Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, "O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence." Make a note of that also, text 30. There's so many points. I'm not making them all now. I'll maybe write them down later. So many things in every line and every word of Bhagavatam. Translation of text 31. O son of a Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has touched, that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. He doesn't know that he's Vishnu yet, but as a Brahmana, he is Bhudeva. Of course, the Lord, God on earth. Of course, there are so many Brahmanas present there, but clearly Vamanadeva is someone very special. He didn't know yet how special. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Otherwise, why would he come? Generally, a Brahmana comes when a Kshatriya is performing a big public sacrifice. It's an open invitation to all the Brahmanas to come and ask for whatever they want. So if you want to hold a public sacrifice, remember that. You have to be ready to give whatever they ask for. If you can't give it, then your sacrifice is a failure. Of course, the Brahmanas, they generally don't ask for too much. They're not supposed to. O son of a Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something, therefore whatever you want you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife. He could arrange that. Prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Then we'll see how Lord Vamana has some fun with Bali Maharaj. When the Supreme Personality, going on to the next chapter, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamana Dev, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied, for Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmanas, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. He's just setting him up. O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born who upon being requested has refused charity to Brahmanas in holy places or a fight to Kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone without assistance to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. When delivering the earth from the Garbhodak sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics, and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me, as death follows all living entities. Therefore it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. Lord Vamanadeva continued, O King of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Vamanadeva is giving an account of what happened, according to the way the demons would recount it, not according to the way the devotees would recount it. Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions and all the caves and oceans, but Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere. Whereas the devotees see him everywhere. Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead. Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance. Your father, Virochana, son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate toward Brahmanas. Although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas, at their request, he delivered to them the duration of his life. You also have observed the principles followed by great personalities who are householder brahmanas, by your forefathers, and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land in the measurement of my steps. And remember, he's just a dwarf, so 3 paces of land by his steps won't be very much. By anyone's steps won't be much, but by Vamana's steps would be very little. O King, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities. So it might seem almost ridiculous. He came all the way to beg something and then he just begs for 3 steps of land according to his dwarf measurement. So Bali will now give him some advice. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a Brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons, presuming that Vamana is neither learned and nor elderly. Being young, he is not expected to be very learned. Nonetheless, you are a boy and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. I am able to give you an entire island. By island, that means one section of the universe, just like we have Jambudvip. I'm able to give you an entire island because I'm the proprietor of the 3 divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words, but you are asking only 3 paces of land. Therefore, you're not very intelligent. O small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. That's his kshatriya pride. You come to me, I'll give you all that you need for the rest of your life. You shouldn't ever have to beg anywhere ever again. The king's charity should not be insufficient. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask from me as much land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs. The personality of Godhead said, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled, as was very clear in the life of Hiranyakashipu. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, the whole universe, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. Let me make a note of that also. Chapter 8, text 19, text 24. 8:19:24. Material existence causes discontent in regard to fulfilling one's lusty desires and achieving more and more money. This is the cause for the continuation of material life, which is full of repeated birth and death. But one who is satisfied by that which is obtained by destiny is fit for liberation from this material existence. Oh, and text 26 also of this chapter. A brahmana who is satisfied with whatever is providentially obtained is increasingly enlightened with spiritual power, but the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied brahmana decreases as fire diminishes in potency when water is sprinkled upon it. All very important instruction. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased, for the way of happiness is to be fully satisfied to receive that which is absolutely needed. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead had thus spoken to Bali Maharaj, Bali smiled and told him, all right, tathastu, take whatever you like. To confirm his promise to give Vamanadeva the desired land, he then took up his water pot. Understanding Lord Vishnu's purpose, Shukracharya, the best of the learned, immediately spoke as follows to his disciple, that means Bali Maharaj, who was about to offer everything to Vamanadeva. Shukracharya said, O son of Virochana, reminding Bali that he's the son of a committed demon. Virochana was always against the demigods, as was Bali, actually. O son of Virochana, this brahmachari in the form of a dwarf is directly the imperishable Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Accepting Kashyap Muni as his father and Aditi as his mother, he has now appeared in order to fill the interest of the demigods. You do not know what a dangerous position you have accepted by promising to give him land. I do not think that this promise is good for you. It will bring great harm to the demons. This person falsely appearing as a brahmacharya is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who has come in this form to take away all your land, wealth, beauty, power, fame, and education. After taking everything from you, he will deliver it to Indra, your enemy. Thus summarizing the whole terrible predicament that Bali is about to put all the demons into. There couldn't be anything worse for them than this. Shukracharya continues, you have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal. You, this Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur sometimes quoted this, sarvasvam vishnave dattva mudha vartishyase katam. Having given everything to Vishnu, how will you maintain yourself, you fool? And inherent in that is, you're maintaining me too. So how are you going to maintain me? If you give everything to him, I'm going to be in trouble too. You have promised to give him 3 steps of land in charity, but when you give it, he will occupy the 3 worlds. You are a rascal. You do not know what a great mistake you have made. After giving everything to Lord Vishnu, you have no means of livelihood. How then shall you live? Vamanadeva will first occupy the 3 worlds with 1 step. Then he will take his 2nd step and occupy everything in outer space. And then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will you offer him the 3rd step? You will certainly be unable to fulfill your promise, and I think that because of this inability, your eternal residence will be in hell. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruitive activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood properly. Therefore, one who is in full knowledge should divide his accumulated wealth in 5 parts, for religion, for reputation, for opulence, for sense gratification, and for the maintenance of his family members. Such a person is happy in this world and the next. One might argue that since you have already promised, how can you refuse? Oh, best of the demons, just take from me the evidence of the Bhavritcha Shruti, which says that a promise is truthful, preceded by the word Om, and untruthful if not.
Yeah, make a note of that.
38. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, there is no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. Shukracharya is very good philosophy, but it's a bit mixed up. It's speaking very convincingly, it seems. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. The utterance of the word Om signifies separation from one's monetary assets. In other words, by uttering this word, one becomes free from attachment to money because his money is taken away from him. To be without money is not very satisfactory, for in that position one cannot fulfill one's desires. In other words, by using the word Om, one becomes poverty-stricken. Especially when one gives charity to a poor man or beggar, one remains unfulfilled in self-realization and in sense gratification. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is a falsehood, it protects one completely, it draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing, he should be killed. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So, moving on to chapter 20. Actually, sometimes we just read the pastime so we get an idea of the pastime as it runs. Sometimes if we just take one verse at a time in a day, we don't get an idea of the overall pastime. But actually, each verse and each word, there's so much to say, to be discussed and understood. So both are required also. So many points can come out. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master Shukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time and then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Now, Bali does the generally unthinkable act of directly refusing to obey his guru, in other words, rejecting his guru. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, quotes from Mahabharata in this regard. It is the words of Bhishma Dev to his guru, Parashuram, the incarnation of Godhead, in Bhishma's rejecting his guru. He's saying to his own guru, he's telling his guru, why I'm rejecting. Guru api avaliptasya karya karya majanataha utpatta pratipannasya parityago vithiyate. If one is... it doesn't give the translation here. Well, the translation is, even if one is a guru, if he is not properly situated, he doesn't know what is to be done and what is not to be done, or if he's previously good but he's fallen from the path, he is to be completely rejected. So, continuing, text 2 of chapter 20, Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. You see, he doesn't identify himself. Shukracharya identifies Vali Maharaj as Virochana, son of Virochana, because Virochan lived and acted as a demon. But Vali himself identifies himself as a grandson of Prahlad, because Prahlad was a great devotee. It's something, just like in India, most of the Muslims, they think that Aurangzeb was a great personality, whereas the Hindus think he wasn't a great personality. And the Hindus think that Akbar was more or less okay. And the Muslims think he was terrible. So it's a question of perspective. There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness, Bali Maharaj says. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself as much as I fear cheating a brahmana. If people had fear, fear has its usefulness also. People nowadays, they don't fear the laws of God, the laws of karma. They think they can do whatever they like and get away with whatever they like. So fear is not a very high principle, but it's a good start for people who are rascals. My Lord, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmana Vamana Devi is not satisfied with whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? The Dadhichi, Shibi, and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of the people in general. This is the evidence of history. So why not give up this insignificant land? What is the serious consideration against it? Oh, best of the Brahmanas, certainly the great demoniac kings who were reluctant to fight, who were never reluctant to fight, Yudhyapya Palayanam. They enjoyed this world, but in due course of time, everything they had was taken away except their reputation, by which they continued to exist. Kirti yasya sajivati. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. This is also on the mundane platform, but it's a better proposition than that of Shukra. O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting, but rarely has one got the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives a charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, even though he is my enemy. If this brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down, having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Shri Shukadev Goswami continued. Thereafter, the spiritual master, Shukracharya, being inspired by the Supreme Lord, cursed his exalted disciple Bali Maharaj, who was so magnanimous and fixed in truthfulness that instead of respecting his spiritual master's instructions, he wanted to disobey his order. Although you have no knowledge, Shukra said, You have become a so-called learned person, and therefore you dare be so impudent as to disobey my order. Because of disobeying me, you shall very soon be bereft of your opulence. Shukadeva Goswami continued, even after being cursed in this way by his own spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being a great personality, never deviated from his determination. Therefore, according to custom, he first offered water to Vamanadeva and then offered him the gift of land he had promised. In other shastras it describes that he offered water to him means he poured water into his hand through a kamandala or water pot with a spout. Shukra entered the spout in the form of a bug, and to clear that spout, Vaman put the piece of kusha grass and blinded Shukra. Elsewhere it's stated, not here in Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj's wife, known as Vindhyavali, who was decorated with a necklace of pearls, immediately came and had a large golden water pot brought there, full of water with which to worship the Lord by washing his feet. Bali Maharaj, the worshipper of Lord Vamanadeva, jubilantly washed the Lord's lotus feet and then took the water on his head, for that water delivers the entire universe. At that time, the residents of the higher planetary systems, namely the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas and the Charanas, all being very pleased by Bali Maharaj's simple, non-duplicitous act, praised his qualities and showered upon him millions of flowers. The Gandharvas, the Kimpurushas and the Kinnaras sounded thousands and thousands of kettle drums and trumpets again and again, and they sang in great jubilation, declaring, "How exalted a person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity." The unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of the material energy until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe. The seas and oceans, the birds, beasts, human beings, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. Bali Maharaj, along with all the priests, acharyas, and members of the assembly, observed the Supreme Personality of Godhead's universal body, which was full of six opulences. That body contained everything within the universe, including all the gross material elements, the senses, the sense objects, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, the various kinds of living entities, and the actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Thereafter, Bali Maharaj, who was occupying the seat of King Indra, could see the lower planetary system, such as Rasatala, on the soles of the feet of the Lord's universal form. He saw on the Lord's feet the surface of the globe, on the surface of his calves, all the mountains, on his knees, the various birds, and on his thighs, the varieties of air. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts, he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist, he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel, he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist, he saw the seven oceans. And on the Lord's bosom, he saw all the clusters of stars. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune, with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods, headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. And on his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadeva. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles, and on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in his touch were lusty desires, In his semen were all the waters, on his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death, in his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers, on his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods and the great saintly persons, and throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. O King, when all the demons, the followers of Maharaj Bali, saw the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who held everything within his body, when they saw in the Lord's hand his disc, known as the Sudarshan Chakra, which generates intolerable heat, and when they heard the tumultuous sound of his bow, all these caused lamentation within their hearts. The Lord's conch shell, named Panchajanya, which made sounds like that of a cloud, the very forceful club named Kaumudaki, the sword named Vidyadhara, with a shield decorated with hundreds of moon-like spots, and also Akshaya Sayaka, the best of quivers. All of these appeared together to offer prayers to the Lord. These associates, headed by Sunanda and other chief associates, and accompanied by all the predominating deities of the various planets, offered prayers to the Lord, who wore a brilliant helmet, bracelets, and glittering earrings that resembled fish. On the Lord's bosom were the lock of hair called Srivatsa, and the transcendental jewel named Kaustubha. He wore a yellow garment covered by a belt, and he was decorated by a flower garland surrounded by bees. Manifesting himself in this way, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose activities are wonderful, covered the entire surface of the earth with one footstep, the sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. So he's not just his footsteps, but he's putting out his arms also and grabbing all he can. Just before he was saying, well, you know, a brahmana shouldn't be greedy. And now he's just taking everything. As the Lord took his second step, he covered the heavenly planets, and not even a spot remained for the third step, for the Lord's foot extended higher and higher beyond Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and even Satyaloka. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when Lord Brahma, who was born of a lotus flower, saw that the effulgence of his residence, Brahmaloka, had been reduced by the glaring effulgence from the toenails of Lord Vamanadeva, he approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma was accompanied by all the great sages headed by Marichi and by the yogis like Sanandana, but in the presence of that glaring effulgence, O King, even Lord Brahma and his associates seemed insignificant. Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord are those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulated principles, as well as experts in logic, history, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpa, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were experts in Vedic corollaries like Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, Sama, Yajur, Rig, and the Atharva, and also the supplementary Vedic knowledge, Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed of the reactions to fruitive activities by transcendental knowledge awakened by the practice of yoga, and still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the three worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Brahma and all the predominating dating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadeva, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. They worshipped the Lord by offering fragrant flowers, water, padya and argya, sandalwood pulp and agaru pulp, incense, lamps, fused rice and broken grains, fruits, roots and sprouts. While so doing, they offered prayers indicating the glorious activities of the Lord and shouted, Jaya, Jaya. They also danced, played instruments, sang, sounded conch shells and beat kettle drums, in this way worshipping the Lord. Jambavan, king of the bears, also joined in the ceremony. Sounding his bugle in all directions, he declared a great festival for Lord Vamanadeva's victory. When the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali saw that their master, who had been determined in performing sacrifice, had lost all his possessions to Vamanadeva, who had taken them away on the plea of begging 3 paces of land, they were very angry and spoke as follows. This Vamana is certainly not a Brahmana, but the best of cheaters, Lord Vishnu. Assuming the form of a Brahmana, he has covered his own form, and thus he is working for the interests of the demigods. Our Lord Bali Maharaj, because of his position in performing the yajna, has given up the power to punish. Taking advantage of this, our eternal enemy Vishnu, dressed in the form of a brahmachari beggar, has taken away all his possessions. Our Lord Bali Maharaj is always fixed in truthfulness, and this is especially so at present, since he has been initiated into performing a sacrifice. He is always kind and merciful toward the Brahmanas, and he cannot at any time speak lies. In other words, they're showing how Bali Maharaj is of very good character, and Vamanadeva is of very bad character. That's their judgment. Although, actually, all of them are of very bad character, and both Bali and Vamana are of the best possible character. But the demon's outlook is always different. Therefore, the demons came to the conclusion, having made a very good argument for their case, it is our duty to kill this Vamanadeva, Lord Vishnu. It's our duty. It's our dharma. We should kill him. Wonderful idea of dharma. It is our religious principle and the way to serve our master. After making this decision, the demoniac followers of Maharaj Bali took up their various weapons with a view to killing Vamanadeva. O king, the demons, aggravated by their usual anger, took their lances and tridents in hand, and against the will of Bali Maharaj, they pushed forward to kill Lord Vamanadeva. O king, when the associates of Lord Vishnu saw the soldiers of the demons coming forward in violence, what do you think they did? Any idea? They smiled. Taking up their weapons, they forbade the demons to continue their attempt. Nanda, Sunanda, Jaya, Vijay, Prabala, Bala, Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Vishvaksena, Patatrirat, Garuda, Jayanta, Shutadev, Pushpadanta, and Sattvata were all associates of Lord Vishnu. They were as powerful as 10,000 elephants, and now they began killing the soldiers of the demons. They smiled, oh, you want to fight with us? Just wipe them all out. When Bali Maharaj saw that his own soldiers were being killed by the associates of Lord Vishnu, he remembered the curse of Shukracharya and forbade his soldiers to continue fighting. O Viprachiti, O Rahu, O Nemi, please hear my words. Don't fight! Stop immediately, for the present time is not in our favor. O Daityas, by human efforts no one can supersede the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bring happiness and distress to all living entities. The Supreme Time Factor, which represents the Supreme Person, was previously in our favor and not in favor of the demigods, but now that same Time Factor is against us. No one can surpass the time representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material power, by the Council of Ministers, by intelligence, by diplomacy, by fortresses, by mystic mantras, by drugs, by herbs, or by any other means. Previously, being empowered by providence, you defeated a great number of such followers of Lord Vishnu, but today those same followers, having defeated us, are roaring in jubilation like lions. Unless providence is in our favor, we shall not be able to gain victory. Therefore, we must wait for that favorable time when our defeating them will be possible. Shukdeva Goswami continued, O King, in accordance with the order of their master, Bali Maharaj, all the chiefs of the demons and the daityas entered the lower regions of the universe to which they were driven by the soldiers of Vishnu. Thereafter, on the day of Somapan, after the sacrifice was finished, Garuda, king of the birds, understanding the desire of his master, arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna. So Bali Maharaj was, he gave in charity all the universe, then he was arrested. Why was he arrested? Because he promised to give 3 steps of land, but he could only give 2. He couldn't fulfill his promise. When Bali Maharaj was thus arrested by Lord Vishnu, who is the most powerful, there was a great roar of lamentation in all directions throughout the upper and lower planetary systems of the universe. O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, then spoke to Bali Maharaj, the most liberal and celebrated personality, whom he had arrested with the ropes of Varuna. Bali Maharaj had lost all bodily luster, but he was nonetheless fixed in his determination. O King of the Demons, Vamana speaking, O King of the Demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now think about where I should put my 3rd. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Of these possessions, with 1 step I have occupied Bhurloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky and all directions, and in your presence with my 2nd step I have occupied the upper planetary systems. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, the rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Whew. There he was, master of all the worlds, having conquered the demigods, performing a sacrifice to bolster his position, and then the sun-like personality comes, and he's very happy and thinks that this will certainly make everything successful. Even more so, he's literally on top of the world. Then all of a sudden, he lost everything and thrown down. But everything works out well in devotional service. So, Vaman says, therefore, in accordance with the order of Shukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. Far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised falls down to a hellish condition of life. We should remember, when taking initiation vows, make a promise, you have to follow. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Although, as we will see, it's not actually hellish, although it's in the lower worlds. Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mischievously toward Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination. Considering himself not to have fulfilled his promise, he spoke as follows. Bali Maharaj said, O best personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your 3rd lotus footstep on my head. He offered to give all the land, but there's still himself. So it's not exactly land, but in the absence of anything else, he's offering, you put your foot on my head, which is equivalent to offering, surrendering himself please completely to Vishnu, which is, although it might have seemed that everything is inauspicious because he lost everything, but to be accepted under the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu is the only really auspicious thing that could ever happen for a jiva. I do not fear, Bali Maharaj says, being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. Although a father, mother, brother or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipable Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Since your Lordship is indirectly the greatest well-wisher of us demons, you act for our best welfare by posing as if our enemy. Because demons like us always aspire for a position of false prestige, by chastising us, you give the eyes by which to see the right path. Many demons who are continuously inimical toward you finally achieve the perfection of great mystic yogis. Your Lordship can perform one work to serve many purposes, and consequently, although you have punished me in many ways, I do not feel ashamed of having been arrested by the ropes of Varuna, nor do I feel aggrieved. My grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, is famous, being recognized by all your devotees. Although harassed in many ways by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet. What is the use of the material body which automatically leaves its owner at the end of life? And what is the use of all one's family members who are actually plunderers, taking away money that is useful for the service of the Lord in spiritual opulence? What is the use of a wife? She is only the source of increasing material conditions. And what is the use of family, home, country and community? Attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's lifetime. My grandfather, the best of all men, who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world. Being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by shelter at your lotus feet, he took shelter of your lotus feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends, who were killed by your own self. Only by providence have I been forcibly brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions, facing accidental death at every moment, do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. Shukadeva Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing his fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there like the moon rising in the night time. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Being bound by the ropes of Varuna, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. When the great personality, Prahlad Maharaj, saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Prahlad Maharaj said, My Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today it is you who have taken it all away. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways, because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance. You have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all his opulence. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Lord of the universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Shukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, Lord Brahma then began to speak to the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the hearing of Prahlad Maharaj, who stood nearby with folded hands. But Bali Maharaj's chaste wife, afraid and aggrieved at seeing her husband arrested, immediately offered obeisances to Lord Vamanadev Upendra. She folded her hands and spoke and follows. So Lord Brahma was just about to speak, and Bali Maharaj's wife just interrupted Lord Brahma and said, Shrimati Vindhyavali said, O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the universe? Lord Brahma said, okay, now she's finished. O well-wisher and master of all living entities, O worshipable deity of all the demigods, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, now this man has been sufficiently punished, for you have taken everything. Now you can release him. He does not deserve to be punished more. So Brahma is being very fair here, it seems, even though the demons are demons, they should be punished. But Brahma said, well, that's enough. Bali Maharaj had already offered everything to your lordship. Without hesitation, he has offered his land, the planets, and whatever else he earned by his pious activities, including even his own body. By offering even water, newly grown grass, or flower buds at your lotus feet, those who maintain no mental duplicity can achieve the most exalted position within the spiritual world. This Bali Maharaj, without duplicity, has now offered everything in the three worlds, all the flowers, all the fruit, flower, leaf and water in the three worlds. How then can he deserve to suffer from arrest? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Lord Brahma, because of material opulence, a foolish person becomes dull-witted and mad. Thus he has no respect for anyone within the three worlds and defies even my authority. To such a person I show special favor by first taking away all his possessions. While rotating in the cycle of birth and death again and again in different species because of his own fruitive activities, the dependent living entity by good fortune may happen to become a human being. This human birth is very rarely obtained. If a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although aristocratic birth and other such opulence are impediments to advancement in devotional service because they are causes of false prestige and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous among the demons and non-believers, for in spite of being bereft of all material opulences, he is fixed in his devotional service. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. The Lord continued, because of his great tolerance, I have given him a place not obtainable even by the demigods. He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Saravarni. Until Bali Maharaj achieves the position of the king of heaven, he shall live on the planet Sutala, which was made by Vishvakarma according to my order. Because it is especially protected by me, it is free from mental and bodily miseries, fatigue, dizziness, defeat, and all other disturbances. Bali Maharaj, you may now go live there peacefully. O Bali Maharaj, Indrasena, now you may go to the planet Sutala, which is desired even by the demigods. Live there peacefully, surrounded by your friends and relatives. All good fortune unto you. On the planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, what to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Because there you will see my supreme prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with the demons and Danavas will immediately be vanquished. All right, questions? Yes, please.
Regarding the truthfulness, what if, for example, because we're not so...
That's a very big question, truthfulness.
For example, if you speak about Bali Maharaj or some famous Maharajas, they quite understand what they speak, what they promise. But if you speak about us, what we, if we do some...
Truthfulness is a very... The basic principle is easy to understand, but the application not always, because this world is such that there are all kinds of different situations can arise. So what is the best thing to do in any given situation? Sometimes, just like Shukracharya said, under some circumstances, telling a lie is okay. Certain circumstances you should. The general principle is that one should be truthful. But sometimes it may be better not to be truthful. Yeah? If someone comes and says, tell me where is such and such a person, I'm going to kill him. Maybe say, there's an example like that in Mahabharata, exactly the same example. Krishna gave that example to Arjuna. So, if you say, I don't know where he is that better than to be truthful and say, he's over there, and then the person goes and kills him? What do you think? In such a circumstance, better to be truthful or not truthful? No, you didn't answer the question. You avoided answering the question by saying better to avoid it. But you didn't say what it's better to avoid. You want to avoid speaking the truth here. The truth is that sometimes it's better not to speak the truth.
What if we did promises which we...
The same, it's the same principle. Yeah, of course. Giving a promise, just like Krishna, he promised he would not take up any weapon in the fight, but then he broke that because he'd given another promise that his devotee will never be vanquished. This is common. Dharma sankart. When two principles of dharma clash, then one has to be an expert understander of dharma to decide what's the best thing to do. Anything else? That's the answer. What's the question? Two-phase question or two? Then you said one is, so that means two questions.
Yes, Maharaj.
Yeah, all right.
I'd like to understand exactly the wonderful character of Bali Maharaj, because he said that when you are in association of the demons, you know, your consciousness is polluted. But even the Bali Maharaj's whole life is a thing of a demon associated with the
Bali Maharaj's whole life in association with demons. Well, not exactly. He appeared to be. Physically, but he was under the guidance of Prahlad. So he didn't actually really associate with the demons at all. Is that the reason his consciousness was so pure? Definitely.
Why Maharaj Virochan and Bali Maharaj were against demigods?
Why Bali Maharaj and Virochana were against the demigods? Virochana was against the demigods, he was demoniac by nature. As the king of the demons, that's his expected duty. And Bali Maharaj also carried out his expected duty as the king of the demons. He carried out what he was expected to do. Although clearly his heart wasn't into it. But he did it. What do you do? What's your job? You do some job? What do you do?
IT consultant.
Sorry?
IT consultant.
You're an IT consultant. Why do you do that if you're a devotee of Krishna? What's that got to do with devotional service? It supports your devotional service. It's some worldly duty that you have to, you feel constrained to do. You're in that situation. So Bali Maharaj was in that situation. If your goal of life is to be Krishna conscious, it doesn't seem to make any sense to be an IT consultant. But you can be Krishna conscious in that situation. It's not the goal of your life or the purpose of your life, but it's some duty that you're constrained to perform. So maybe the devotee is in a situation. Was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, was he a magistrate? Well, from the external point of view, but we don't glorify him because he was a magistrate. That's incidental, isn't it? We don't glorify Bali Maharaj. The demons would glorify Bali Maharaj because he conquered the universe and threw out Indra. But the devotees glorify him because he's a great devotee. Everything else is external. If we look back in the future, we'll say, oh, what a great devotee, and this and that. But then we say, well, then why is Bhaktivinoda Thakur a magistrate and moving here and there? That's why it's often recommended, don't see that side of the life of Vaishnava. Don't concentrate too much on that. That's not his real life. His real life is his service to Krishna. Other things are incidental. It's recounted here in the narration of Bali Maharaj because his greatness as a devotee was demonstrated by his willingness to immediately give up everything. He wasn't attached. He was performing, he was just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, performing his duty but unattached. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, he was the emperor of the whole world. He was told you have to die in 7 days. Okay, just gave it up immediately, which means he was never attached to it. Otherwise he couldn't have done that. So these are the kind of examples that we have to think of, because we also have to give up everything at some point if we think we have it in the first place. So we should know that we may be doing so many activities, but that all of that has no real meaning. As Bali Maharaj said to Vamanadeva, that anyway we have to give it all up, so why? No, to Shukra, he said, anyway we have to give it all up, so I can give it up now also. At death I have to give it up, I can give it up now also. So that exalted consciousness is the kind of consciousness that we're supposed to inculcate, because it could come to us at any moment also. Certainly it will come at some point in time. Mrityu sarva harascham, Krishna says, I take away everything. That's for the devotee also. If the devotee thinks, this is my house, my wife, my children, my family, my car, my motorbike, my bank balance, my country. If a devotee is thinking like that, well, he'll also find at the time of death that will all go. So we should give up attachment to that prior to death and be fully situated in Krishna. That's why it's also recommended. Don't stick in your family life right up to the moment of death, because there's a good chance that you'll remain attached. So one should have an escape plan to escape from the dark well of family life. You may say, well, for a devotee it's not a dark well, but still we talk in that language, because if we have any attachment to it, it is a dark well. As much as we perceive family life as something for my comfort and enjoyment, that much it's a dark well. We understand, I'm working to support my devotional service, but if there's any material attachment there, if, is it an if or is it a fact? Then we have to come out of that. Yeah? So, Bali Maharaj shows the example, the great example. Bali Maharaj could give up the whole universe. Can we give up our little semi-detached house? For most devotees, from what I can see, hardly. You should think. Age 50, out. Get out. If you don't get out by age 50, then by age 70, usually the latest, you have to get out anyway. So better be prepared. Now we're laughing, but it's painful. As Jagannath Mahaprabhu was telling me yesterday, he's saying the heart attack was very painful. Getting out of the house, getting out of the home, very painful. Prabhupada himself said it was very painful. Can you imagine? It's very difficult for me to take sannyas. My Guru Maharaj forced me. So, we like to hear these pastimes, but we should think of the implications also. Devotional service is blissful, but becoming free from material attachments doesn't seem very blissful. It hurts. Phantom limb. Have you heard of that phantom limb? Someone has their arm blown off in an explosion or something like that, and they feel it's still there. They're so used to it. It's not there, but they're so used to it being there, they think it should be there. So it's not there. So we have to lose everything. But just like a ghost thinks, I'm still in the body. They just can't give it up. They just can't give up the attachment. So it's very, Krishna consciousness is very blissful. And material attachments are very powerful. And that's why we glorify Bali Maharaj. He had everything. He gave it up in an instant. We're all supposed to do that.
Sometimes we think that we have like a higher taste.
Sometimes we think we have a higher taste. And then we find out we've still got a lower taste.
Yes. So was it a higher taste or not?
Is it a higher taste? Certainly we can. Krishna can. The Bhakti Devi can bless us with a, if we didn't get some taste of what bhakti is like, then we wouldn't pursue it at all. But then if we become puffed up a little bit and think, oh, now I'm advanced, then we're thrown down and shown that actually, we're not so advanced as we thought we were. Therefore, we have to be steady. Not just looking for the nectar, but we should also, apart from looking for the nectar, we should also look and see what's in the garbage department of our hearts. And have the steady cleaning. Just like daily one is supposed to clean. Clean the house, clean the cloth, wash the body. So daily we have to do daily cleansing. Cheto darpana marjanam, cleaning the heart by chanting, by hearing, serving daily. Otherwise the dirt will accumulate again. Maya doesn't take a holiday. We say, all right, today, doesn't matter if I take a day off. But Maya doesn't say that. She doesn't take any days off. So she'll be there. If we relax, then already we're in Maya. Constant vigilance. It's to be constant vigilance. Shri Vamana Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai. Sri Bali Maharaj ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.